Bible, brethren. Let's open to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Seventy-one years ago, God sent His preacher to a preacher. God sent His called representative, His ambassador, one He ordained to speak to a person whose occupation wasn't their calling. The Lord didn't put them there. Their occupation, their job, happened to be a preacher. And the Holy Spirit revealed Christ in that man. He made him a fisher of men. What some job he had to preach, He made him a fisher of men. But He didn't save that whole church. So this preacher went to tell them what the Lord had done for him. Tell them the truth about the God of the Bible. And they didn't want nothing to do with it. It wasn't the election bothered them. It's that the Lordship of Christ bothered them. It wasn't that a sovereign God bothered them. Providence bothered them. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, His Lordship, that bothered them. And so one Sunday morning, they were having a men's meeting. And this preacher that the Lord did a work in, he got up in that men's meeting and he read Romans chapter 9 without comment. And somebody said, "Knock it off." And he kept reading. And they said, "Why are you reading that? We're tired of this election stuff." And he said, "I'm not commenting. I'm just reading the scriptures." And that settled the matter for him. There was no fight needed to take place. There were no arguments to be had. The Lord settled it through the reading of His Word. Because they heard. He spoke to them. Savor of death unto death for most of those folks, but they heard. He spoke to them through His Word. If you got something in your mind this morning, put it away. Hear the Word of God. Let's hear what He has to say. If you're worried about what needs to happen, we got a lot of stuff going on today. I got a lot of stuff going on this week, this month. Got a long checklist. Put it away. Put it out of your mind and hear the Word of God. Hear what He has to say. Luke 10, verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went," this is Christ and His disciples, "that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care? Dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she helps me. I'm working my fingers to the bone. Don't you care? Don't you know any better? Don't you care? Make us, this my sister, make my sister help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, there are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" The Lord's taught me something in this passage. I was working hard. I was laboring. I've been getting distracted. Like I said, I've got a lot going on this month. Our calendar's pretty full, and I'm thankful. We're going to receive some people into our home this month. I was taken away from my work, worrying about those things, and I wasn't happy about it. And I took my complaint to the Lord. I complained to the Lord about it. I wanted some help. I wanted to handle these issues. I wanted to get a game plan. I wanted to get my checklist down. And then I wanted to get back at it. I wanted to get back to what was put in my hand. And my God addressed it. He addressed it. He gave me instruction. I wouldn't call it a rebuke. It felt like a rebuke, but He gave me some instruction. And my mind and my heart were turned to the one thing needful. Oh, if He'd do it for me this morning. If I could turn to that one thing needful. I pray I can tell you about it. What He showed me. And I pray that you'll hear it. Pray each one of us will hear it. Martha and Mary, they both get a bad rap, don't they? Martha, oh, she works too hard. She's got a lot of stuff going on. She don't sit at the feet of Christ. She's cumbered about. Out working her fingers to the bone. And some people wrongly say that Martha wasn't saved. We'll get to that in a little bit. Mary got a bad rap too, didn't she? She was lazy. Christ came to them whenever Lazarus died. Martha heard He was coming and she ran to Christ. Mary stayed in the house. And then Martha had to go tell her secretly, "Hey, Christ is here. He's asking for you." And then she went to Him. She had to be reminded again. She heard the same thing Martha heard. In fact, she's lazy. All she does is lay around people's feet all day, don't she? We'll see that ain't the case too. Both these sisters are very special people. They're very special. Look here in verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house." This is in the town of Bethany. Our Lord visited here several times. He stayed with them several times. Knew them well, didn't He? Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Stayed in their home. He was loved there. He was known there. And the people of this home. And there was a certain woman in this village, in this home, named Martha. It wasn't just any old person. You know, Martha was a common name in the Jewish nation at that time. This wasn't just any old Martha. This was a certain Martha, a certain woman. What made her so different than any other Martha? Who made her different than any other Martha? Who maketh thee to differ? Who makes you certain? A certain person. She received these brethren into her home, didn't she? She received the Lord Jesus Christ. That just hurts my heart. People worry about the Pope coming over for dinner. God Almighty came into her house. She got cooking dinner. We're told that we may entertain angels unaware. That happens. Sometimes we're responsible for caring for or serving one of the Lord's people, and we don't know who they are. We don't know it's the Lord's people. She was aware. That whole household was aware who was sitting there, who came into their home. Now, He loves her. He loved Martha, and He entered her home. He came to her, and He went into her home, and she loved Him. Because He loved her, she loved Him, and she invited Him into her home. She received Him willingly, gladly, took Him in. What a picture of limited atonement and irresistible grace. This isn't a chicken and an egg. This ain't stump the chump. Something come first. God loved her first. He put her in Christ first. And when the Holy Spirit did a work in her heart, she loved Him. And she loved those disciples that were tagged along with Him. She took them into her home. She received them. And you know, just as a side note, it's such a blessing to have brethren into your home. You all have had a lot of experience with this. Over the years, you've had a lot of folks come and go, and you do a good job of it. That's a blessing, isn't it? Have you ever had one of your brothers or sisters come stay with you and not be blessed by it? There not be a word said that warms your heart? There not be a story told that makes you smile, that stays with you? It's a blessing to have those people come to us. It's a blessing. But this was a loved family. This was a house of faith. House of faith. And I'm going to tell you as plainly as I can tell you, this is rare. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Three siblings. Same family. And all of them were believers. All of them loved the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a rare thing. This is special. This is rare. It's not a common family. It's a certain family. How can I say that with confidence? How can I tell you that with confidence? That Martha was a member of the church of God. She wasn't just the scaffolding that was used to build His church. She was His. She was a member of that body. She's a member of your body. How do I know that? Turn over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This is who the same folks, this is people we're talking about. Therefore His sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. Did the Lord love Lazarus? He said He did. It's written down, isn't it? That's plain. We know that Christ loved Lazarus. And when Jesus had heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He was sick. We all know this story, don't we? Lazarus got sick. They sent word. Lazarus died. This flesh that he was in was no more. They buried him and he stunk. And Christ waited. He waited because it was right. It was good. He's going to show us something. What's he doing? I don't have to know. He's going to teach us something. Why is he doing it? For His glory. For the glory of the Lord, didn't He? And He did. Now next here is a verse by itself. This is written in a book. Catch this. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You think Martha was a child of God? The Lord Jesus Christ loved her. And He loved Mary. That one that did a lot of sitting at His feet. And He loved Lazarus. A man that was dead. What a good picture of us. And all believers are different. Ain't a one of us the same. We got different backgrounds. We got different ideas about how to do stuff. Whole lot of differences, ain't there? We have one thing in common. The one thing needful. We have that in common. But anything else could be a source of division, could be something to divide over. We're all different. But the love of God is what makes us together. That's what binds us together in one body. But for these certain women, these certain sisters, and this certain man, Lazarus, their brother, that Christ loves, their name's written in this book. It's written in the Holy Scriptures, isn't it? The proof of His love towards them is written in this book. The reason they called on Him is because He loved them and their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You who believe on Christ, you who know Him, you who have received Him and love Him because He first loved you, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know what says that? Jesus loved Mike Smith. The Lord God Almighty loved Matt. Right there, say, comma. There's a whole lot of commas in that sentence, isn't there? The whole book's worth. Certain women, certain men are loved of God, loved by Him, and they call on Him. They call to Him. Now back in our text. Verse 39. Luke 10:39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Does that say also? For y'all's Bible, does it say also? She also sat at Jesus' feet. Martha had sat at Christ's feet also, hadn't she? When He'd visited in the past, she'd sat at His feet. She'd heard Him also, hadn't she? She wouldn't then. What's that speaking about? A true child of God. that born-again nature in her, that new creation in her, that incorruptible seed, it sits at the feet of the Lord. Always. That new man in me doesn't fail because it's of Him. It's always at His feet. That's why He said, I'm with you always. He's always with us. We ain't alone. The Lord's with us. Where are we at when He's with us? We're at His feet. Our right man is. Our true nature is. One given of Him. And they heard His word. This wasn't just listening to the sound of His words. My dad used to ask me that. He kind of switched it up. He'd say, I know you heard me, but did you listen to me? And then the next time he'd say, I know you listened to me, but did you hear me? I'm still kind of confused on that. But they heard His word. They didn't just listen. It wasn't just noise coming in one ear and out the other, and then they can kind of write some stuff down and tell you the gist of what He said after. They heard Him. They didn't hear a doctrine. They heard a man. They didn't hear a theology, some system of something to do or what we ought to be doing. They heard a man. Christ Jesus the Lord spoke to them. They sat at His feet and they heard Him. You know what my instinct is? Boy, if that happened to me, I'd never do nothing wrong. I'd be sitting when I'm supposed to sit and I'd be working when I'm supposed to work. No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. I know better, don't you? You know better too. Now here in verse 40, Martha's service, her ministry, that's what was given in her hand to do. It goes from something that I get to do. I'm allowed to do this. Would you want to go make a ham sandwich for the Lord? Would you want to put a pot of beans together for His disciples? You get to do that. Just dwell on that for a week. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? It sure went from something she gets to do to something I've got to do. I've got to wash these dishes. Them dishes need washed. They do need washed, don't they? Does it need to happen right now? Now it's a burden, man. It's a burden. Called strife. It went from a blessing to serve the Lord and His people, a privilege, a blessing, to a burden. Look here at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. She was cumbered about much serving. This wasn't one or two little things she had to do. That's a job, isn't it? Back of that setting, here's all the Lord's disciples with Him. And the Lord's there with them in your home. And your family, Lazarus was there. Mary's got to eat, don't she? You start racking up some numbers. Little tiny house. That's a whole lot of biscuits to be made. There's a lot to do. And there's going to be a lot of dishes when they get done. There's a lot of sweeping up the crumbs, ain't there? A lot of bread to bake. A lot of water to draw. If everybody have something to drink. And Martha was a servant. She had much serving to do. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be a servant. If the Lord gives us something in our hand to do, it's a gift to serve His people, to the furtherance of this gospel, and to serve our Lord. It's a blessing. But many times we look to the work put in our hands more than we look to the one that put it in our hands. That starts becoming the main goal. That's the objective. We're not looking at the one that we're serving, we're looking at our service. And you know what happens when we do that? We get selfish and we start looking at others. Mary ought to be helping me. I'm doing this all by myself. That's what Jonah did. I wrote an article in the bulletin today. I encourage you to read it. Jonah went and got to the east side of Nineveh. And he sat and he looked into the city. Watching his brethren. I'm going to see what's going to happen. He should have been facing the other way. There's a whole city full of sinners. What do you think they're going to do? They're worshiping the Christ that saves sinners. He should have been guarding them. He should have been a watchman, watching out for the wolf to come and let them celebrate. Let them rejoice in the Lord. Let me take this from you. Now he's sitting there critiquing them, wouldn't he? Looking at what they ought to be doing. I did this. I had personal experience with this. The Lord let me cut His grass for 2 years. I had a riding lawnmower. I went and got me a real nice weed eater. I bought a trailer to haul this stuff over there to cut grass. And I did a good job. He put it in my hand to do it. I was going to do it. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. I threw my headphones in, listened to a message, cut grass. Lord, let me cut his grass. And you know, that wasn't for me to do anymore. I was holding tight to that. It wasn't for me to do anymore. As lists come out, who's going to cut grass? Well, what if I can't cut it this week? I got something going on. Well, I don't need trouble whoever made the list. I'll just call who's next. Hey, you want to switch? Now you start saying, oh, stuff. Well, I can't make it that week. Well, what's going on? Oh, my dad's sick. And then you get to talking. You start sharing stuff, don't you? I didn't see that. I hadn't experienced it. I hadn't lived it. And I got mad. That hurt my feelings. And I thought, well, this is mine to do. I'm going to cling a little tighter. That was painful. The Lord pried my fingers off of that. That's silly, isn't it? That's silly. That's what Martha's doing. What a privilege she has here. Martha, a certain woman, she started off on the right foot here. She had a good plan, but poor execution, as we used to say. She didn't say, Mary, get in here. That'd have been easy, wouldn't it? There's probably her older sister. She could have rounded the corner and said, hey, come help me. She took her concern to the Lord. He will handle it. If you take your concern to the Lord, take your complaint. Complain to the Lord. He's going to handle it. Now, he may handle it in a way we think's good. He may handle it in a way we think's rebuking and hurtful and harmful. But he's going to handle it right. In love, he's going to teach his children. Take your burdens to the Lord. Just the good burdens? There ain't many good burdens, are there? Just the bad ones? Oh, there's some good burdens. There ain't many. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them. He'll handle it. She took her concern to the Lord. And you know, we should thank the Lord for Martha's. We need Martha's. We need them. We have responsibilities in this world. There's parents. We have spouses. We have children. We're members of this society. We have jobs in this society. And things must get done. If you're a child of God, if you got any bills, pay your bills. If you're a child of God, pay your bills. If you're His and you have children, look after your children. Train them up in the way they should go. Look after them. Raise them. Protect them. If you're a child of God and you have a spouse, love your spouse. As Christ loved the church, be kind to them. Love them. If you've got a business, run your business. If you're a child of God, support the gospel of Christ by whatever means you are given to do it. But there's one thing important to you. One thing needful. All these other things that's given to us, it's in our hand. The very thing that's given to us, for us to serve and care for our brethren and serve our Lord, that's the most dangerous thing in the earth for your soul. Do you know that? And four children right there. Lord, put them in my hand to take care of them, raise them, look after them, protect them. That's the first thing that will come between me and the Lord. We don't look at those things, do we? Dangerous. Dangerous. Man who doesn't forsake mother, father, sister, and follow me, he's none of mine. But we're to honor our mother and father, aren't we? Honor our sister. And take your eyes from the feet of Christ and turn them to yourselves. I turn to my hands instead of looking at him, the one that gave me my hands. But she asked in a very telling way. She said, Lord, dost thou not care? I think that's her new nature, her old nature speaking. Assuming that the Lord didn't care for one that he spilled his blood for. One he came to this earth and died for. Do you ever say something and as it comes out of your mouth, you go, oh. You ask a question and you go, never mind. I know the answer. How many times have I said, Lord, don't you care? Storm's coming. Bills are due. Children's sick. Cotton's down to quarter pound. Whatever it is. What are we going to do? Lord, don't you care? He does. Instead of finding great joy in the ability to serve, it was a burden. And sometimes we can cling to what we're given to do, and it comes so important to us, we cling too tight. It's So it says there, verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Any of those things that cumber me about, that cumber you about, if they restrain us from sitting at Christ's feet, there's a problem. There's a problem. But if you are a certain woman, or you're a certain man, listen to me. Christ will deal with it. Did Mary butt in? Mary didn't say a word, did she? Was that just the three people in that house? No, all them disciples were in there. That's some men that's got some knowledge too, doesn't it? They got some weight. I'd listen to them if they talked to me. Didn't say a word. Mary didn't say nothing. The disciples didn't say nothing. Christ will correct His child by speaking the needed word, what they need to their heart. If we're at Christ's feet, we'll pay our bills, we'll look after our families, our businesses, our work, and we'll support the gospel. It will happen. We will do those things. But He'll speak the needed word to our heart to bring us to His feet. We also think everybody will be doing what we do, huh? Does that happen to you? Every time I'm working at the house, I think everybody in that house will be out there working. And in the evenings, wrongfully, I sit down to rest. And I think Kimberly will be sitting next to me. I'm resting, you all be resting too. She had things to do, don't she? I'd starve to death. Our Lord didn't validate Martha's complaint. She said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? Mary ought to be helping me. Now, if He said, Mary, get up and go help her, what'd He just do? He validated her complaint. Should Mary have been up helping her? Probably. If they'd knock that work out faster, both of them could sit down, couldn't they? He didn't validate that complaint. He didn't give credence to her. He didn't bow to her, did he? He did care. That wouldn't be caring. He did care. It says in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Can you imagine the Lord calling your name twice? Kevin, Kevin. That's tender. Boy, that's firm. It's her name once, said it twice. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Those things are going to get done. There's responsibilities, but one thing's needful. We don't know the difference between want and need, do we? One thing's needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. He said, you can serve at any time. You can eat at any time. You'll make it 24 hours. You'll be all right. You can wash the dishes any time, but you can't always sit at the feet of the Lord. We know that. Is His feet important to you? Is His feet precious to you? Our minds, they just bounce all over. They go from one thought to another so fast. But one thing's needful. That's simple, isn't it? That's the simplicity of the gospel. What's needful? What do I have to know? Christ. The one thing needful. If it was two or three things, could you imagine? I can't keep my mind on one thing. How am I going to keep it on two or three? But it's simple. One thing. The simplicity of Christ. One thing here in our text. I looked this up and I just thought it was precious. The Greek word is heis. H-E-I-S. Which I didn't have my glasses on and it looked like He is. It's the first thing I thought of. But the Greek definition of heis. One thing is one abundant man. That's not a thing. That's a man. One abundant man is needful. Oh, if we could see that. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's the abundance of naughtiness, the abundance of talking, wrath, anger. And receive the meat with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. What's the engrafted word that can save our souls? Receive that one abundant man, that one needful man. Put everything else away. Don't worry about it. Look to him. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We don't just hear of him. There will be a reaction to his action. We have a responsibility in light of his ability. Lord will do that. We'll be doers of his word. Mary, she was a hearer, weren't she? That's what we pick on her so bad. She didn't do nothing. All she did was sit there and listen to the Lord. It's a good place to be. We will be doers. I can't drive that point home enough. If you're the Lord, you'll serve him. He said, you will follow me. And I believe that means we're going to follow him. We ain't going to sit on the couch like Mary did. She went out and ran to him. Turn to Matthew 26 and we'll see it. We'll see how Mary was a doer. She heard this word of correction of this teaching too. She didn't say anything, but she was in the presence of the Lord when he spoke to Martha. Matthew 26. Verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. That's Mary. That's when she anointed the Lord before his burial. Same one that cleansed his feet with her hair. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. This service that he put in her hand, we could have done a whole lot better. We could have done a lot more good with this, wouldn't it? When Jesus understood, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. We always have the poor with us. There's sinners all around us that we could serve, isn't it? You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning. What do we have Wednesday evening? We might have the feet of Christ here to speak to us, to give us a word. And you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got poor all around you. Look out the window. Drive down the street. Go wherever you normally go. Poor is all around you. You got them to take care of. Tell them the truth about Christ too. What happens Sunday morning? We just might have the feet of Christ with us. We just might get a word from him. That's when we can be selfish. Look to him. I need that. I need to look to him. Verse 12. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did do it for my burial. She knew him. She knew what he had to suffer. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Does that mean we're supposed to praise Mary and pray to Mary? No, it doesn't mean that. What's this story of Mary? She was given something to do. She served the Lord with everything in her. She come to him. She come to his feet. She come to the one abundant man that was needful. And she worshipped him with everything that was in her ability. She's sitting there getting picked on by the disciples. Judas is the one that spoke up first, and then the rest of them fell in. She kissed his feet. Well, so many people give lip service to the Lord, don't they? Where'd Judas kiss him? He kissed him. He met him eye to eye, didn't he? Here's a story that needs to be told. We don't need to meet him eye to eye. We need to be humbled. We need to be brought to his feet. Look to him alone. Martha was rebuked by the Lord. And turn over to John 12, and we'll close. Mary heard this. The Lord taught her. Martha was taught too. just I was in John. Hold on. John 12. There in verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Same place, same family. Certain family. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And Mary, she sat there too with her ointment, didn't she? What happened? Didn't the Lord already address this? Ain't this asked and answered? Didn't he fix it? The spirit changed. Her attitude changed. Now Mary and Lazarus, those disciples, Christ is still sitting at that table. She's still serving them, but she did it happily. She happily served them. What a privilege it was. It was a burden. Now it's a blessing again. I pray we can happily serve the poor. Serve those that are needy sinners. Need to have the gospel preached to them. Those that Christ has saved, that He'll call out through the preaching of His gospel. I hope we can serve them. But when He's near, when He's near to us, that we can come to His feet and put away all carnal things. You know, carnal is not necessarily an evil term. It doesn't always have bad connotations to it in the Scripture. It just means worldly. The plowing of the evil is wicked. Well, the righteous have to plow too, don't we? We still got to eat. We're still physically in this earth. But if we could put those things away, whatever it is, even good things to bad, and look to Him, come to His feet and hear a word from Him also. He told Mary, or Martha, He said, Mary hath chosen that good part this morning, which shall not be taken away from her. Come to Him. If He draws you to Him, He will not be taken away from you. Sure He is. You'll be happy. You'll be satisfied. You won't be ashamed. Amen. Let's pray together.